Good afternoon, Xanthi.
Hello.
All right, starting off, the terms sociopath and psychopath are usually used interchangeably. So what's the difference between the two?
Well, the public often uses them synonymous, but they are in fact different. So there's some discourse in the kind of community at the moment which says that the difference is really nature and nurture. So we believe that a sociopath is somebody who's born with certain tendencies, but if they have a stable, happy upbringing, they can actually be diverted away from some of the more negative connotations of this behavioral condition. Whereas a psychopath is born with a brain that is not wired to feel certain emotions, empathy, sympathy, love, remorse, and regardless of their upbringing, they're going to behave in a certain way because it's literally the way their brain is wired. So yeah, we like to differentiate it between that nature and nurture.
Why do you think people confuse the two, those who are not in criminology, for example?
Well, I think the outcomes can be very similar. So both sociopaths and psychopaths struggle to feel those kind of warmer emotions that we associate with those groups. So we tend to see similar behaviours in both. However, there are distinct differences. For example, psychopaths tend to have a higher IQ generally. They tend to plan things more methodically. A sociopath is more likely to respond in the moment, lose control. So they're more reactive to situational factors. So whilst on the surface, the two could be quite similar, there are actually fundamental differences which help us differentiate between them, and that can be useful in a crime scenario when you're interpreting something that's happened to really look at who the offender may be and what their personality traits may be depending on how the scene presents.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of TV series out there that, for example, like Law and Order or CSI or Criminal Minds or even Netflix's Mindhunter, who have kept like the fascination behind psychopaths and sociopaths. Why do you think the mainstream consciousness is, I wouldn't say obsessed, but like fascinated with it?
I think it's the extremes of behavior. So obviously not all sociopaths and psychopaths are violent. It is a behavioral condition, but there's a whole gambit of right from people with very low level traits right the way up to the most serious offenders. And I'm talking for the archetypal violent psychopath would be somebody like Ivan Milat. You know, so that is really the extreme of those behavioral conditions right down the far end. But I think that that's what fascinates people, that it is that extreme. And I think that's what grips people, that people will do these awful things to each other, and trying to understand who those people may be, but watching it safely through the medium of a television or listening to a podcast, it's like this little safety net. They're interested, but it's not something that's personal to them. And lots of people are fascinated by that.
For sure. What is the link behind these personality disorders and the path towards becoming a serial killer?
Well, when you combine the ability or the disability, I guess, to feel those emotions of love and remorse and really be able to engage with somebody else on that emotional level, that allows do things that other people wouldn't do. And whilst a lot of psychopaths and sociopaths are not violent, they can make excellent CEOs, for example, or pilots or surgeons, because they don't have the same restrictions on their activities that other people do. But when you mix that with violent tendencies, then you can get the extreme, those who are willing to go out and harm others intentionally, may even get enjoyment from it. And we certainly see that with the Ivan Milat of the world and the Daniel Holdens, who are keeping mementos because they enjoy power, control, and dominance over others. So you're mixing the psychopathic trait with a violent, sadistic nature, and you end up with these really dangerous individuals.
Can the average person with no crime motive be considered and or treated for psychopathy or sociopathy?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing criminal about being a sociopath or a psychopath, and very many are what we would class as successful psychopaths. You know, they are the high-level lawyers.
Politicians.
Politicians, academics. You know, we can all think of them, basically. And in some ways, society needs them. They need people who are willing to push those boundaries, who are willing to do whatever needs to be done to get the job done. So there's certainly nothing criminal about it. But getting in their way would be a problem. You know, they're not going to worry too much about their employees, for example, if it's not in their best interest. So there's certainly nothing criminal about this, and people can recognize the signs. I'm sure most people know at least one. We think there's somewhere of a prevalence around 3 to 5% in the population. So guaranteed, out of 100 people, you know, 3 to 5 are going to have psychopathic traits somewhere on that spectrum.
So we definitely do know at least one in our lives.
Yeah, and most of us can probably name them. And if you don't have one in your personal life or your circle of friends or colleagues, you can probably think of people either in the media, celebrities, anyone kind of high profile, especially narcissistic personalities. I'm sure we can all think of some. And people often ask me if a specific individual, if I would class them as psychopath, and I tend not to do that live on air, but I'm sure that you can think of a couple. And we all kind of recognize these traits, and they can be dangerous to us. They can be very damaging in people's personal lives and at work. So these are individuals that can cause a lot of harm, whether they're violent or not.
For sure. Thank you, Xanthi, for joining us on air today.
Thank you.